Good morning.
For some reason, this isn't working.
So it's my pleasure to be here with you today, and I think this is a really exciting moment for us because following up on Carrie's presentation and the comment that was made, this is our time. So I'm going to talk with you about a separate process from EHR. And I think what this tells us is that the stars are somewhat aligning for our field, and if we take this time that's before us, we're going to actually start to get some data that we've been missing. So I have no financial conflicts to disclose. I have other conflicts in life, but I'm getting help for that. So the crew on this work, Leah Roman is the project manager. Leah, if you could wave your hand. We are here for you throughout the meeting if you want to talk with us about this process and other things that we're doing. And our colleagues at the University of New Hampshire Institute for Health Policy and Practice, Joe Porter and Amy Costello, and Bob Davis from the National Association of Health Data Organizations. We are all data geeks and we are proud of it. So the impetus for this talk today was a grant that we received from FEMA to research and develop the components for a non-fatal injury surveillance system for the U.S. Fire Service, and that is a grant called FIRST. And if you are interested in the products, research and development that FEMA is funding, these brochures are in the back of the room. It is incredibly generous funding and enables us to do things quickly for occupational safety and health, particularly in the fire service. And so the problem that initiated this is that the estimates we have for non-fatal injuries in the fire service range from 90 a year to 80,000 a year. So that's a little bit broad. But we know that the work of the fire service is changing, as is everyone's work. So that first column there just shows you that fire departments are responding to more EMS calls than structure fires than ever before. And so good surveillance systems should be able to detect new problems and quantify those things and then enable us to ask good research questions. Surveillance isn't research in and of itself. It empowers research through the identification of the problems which we should prioritize. So in traditional injury surveillance work, we rely on administrative data, that data that comes from hospitals or healthcare providers. And we can do all kinds of things with this. We can look over time at the pattern of injury. So this just shows you the discharge rates for particular sites of the body, and you can look at the trends over time. I could have put up age or mechanism of injury or length of stay, but what I can't put up here is who's a firefighter. I can't put up any information about anyone's occupation. So right now, these data don't work for us the way we need to. So as part of our research and development project, which has research components, we have a policy component, and that's to add new codes to administrative data, specifically industry and occupation, to the uniform bill. The uniform bill is what CMS and private payers use to shuttle claims between the person providing the healthcare services and the person paying the bill. So what we are in essence doing is, instead of building duplicative or parallel data systems, we are repurposing data that already exists. Sounds like economics, right? So the uniform bill serves that function. The primary function is reimbursement. I need to get paid for the services that were provided. But states also use this data for their own purposes, their public health purposes. So we meet a public good by using data that already exists and enables us to do what we need to do without creating duplication, and also enables those public health surveillance goals with which we are all familiar. So we are working with two standard-setting organizations in this endeavor. The first is the X12N committee of the American National Standards Institute. These are the geeks responsible for electronic data interchange. What does the variable look like? Is it numeric or text? How long is it? What's the data dictionary? Where does it go on the form? These are the people who make data readable, if you will. So they're the first group. The second group is the National Uniform Billing Committee, and this is a very important group because they decide what goes into that administrative data on which we rely, things that we look at from the National Center for Health Statistics. So I want to talk about the mission of the NUBC because it's foreshadowing for this presentation. So the NUBC was established in 1975 by the American Hospital Association and private payers. And their mission, the reason they developed the NUBC, was to develop a single billing form and standard data set that could be used nationwide by providers and payers for handling healthcare claims. Let's sing from the same songbook. So HIPAA came along in the 90s and created, in 2000, with the final standards for electronic data transactions, data standards maintenance organizations, and they are responsible for maintaining, updating, and making sure that standards are appropriate. So these are the types of things Carrie was talking about in her presentation. And so this falls under the direction of the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and that person decides who gets to be the entity who serves as a data standards maintenance organization. And so X12 and NUBC are both DSMOs. There are about six groups out there that fall into this category. So they're responsible for maintaining and expanding the standards. Now, the NUBC traditionally was about reimbursement and their interests, but it expanded its mission. And I want to read this because it's very important for this presentation. Over the years, the NUBC has realized that the UB data set has become more than a billing instrument. It is also used by many others, including public health and health researchers, as a tool to gauge the delivery of healthcare services to patients. Therefore, the data set has broad policy implications for shaping the future of our health delivery system. Recently, the NUBC increased its membership to include public health sector as well as electronic data standards organizations. So it's explicit. This is exactly from the NUBC's website. It is an explicit part of their mission. Okay? So hang on to that. What's the process? You first go to X12 and say, can you please create a standard? If they choose to create a standard, they publish it, and therefore everyone involved in electronic data interchange, if they're going to capture that information, uses that standard. And that's an important first step. But in order to get this done nationally, states don't necessarily do what X12 accepts as a standard. What happens is when the NUBC decides to collect new variables, about half the states in the country immediately have their administrative rules connected to what the NUBC decides. So if they decide they're going to collect race and ethnicity as part of the uniform bill, about half the states will automatically do that. So there's a great economy of scale of going to the NUBC and saying, can we add these variables for public health? But the hard work is actually at the state level, where the states actually have to implement this information. So I'm going to come back to the slide in terms of where we are right now in the United States in this process. So Carrie did me a good economy of scale as well and told you about NAICS and SOC codes. These are exactly the codes that we're looking to incorporate into the uniform bill. They weren't developed for public health. They were developed nationally and internationally for economic and labor comparisons about different markets. Again, public health uses what's out there in order to reduce the burden on the providers, and it meets our needs. So SOCs and NAICS codes are what we're using. They're combined together to tell a story about what industry do I work in and what do I do in that industry. And it's important to have these two things together because you could be working in fire protection as an industry, but you could be the head of the dispatch communication center, which is very different in terms of exposure than if you're a firefighter. So those two things work together. Now, as Curry mentioned, the coding of this data is highly specialized, and so there can be a lot of misclassification and error if you choose to take the narrative that people provide you and code it yourself. So NIOSH in its wisdom, and I am not a NIOSH employee, I just happened to have discovered this as we were going along this process. NIOSH has been working on this for a long time, but in 2008, it amplified this issue within its mission through a NORA grant to some great folks, Sue Nallen and Pam Schumacher at the Cincinnati office in Marie Sweeney's group. They developed a computerized coding algorithm to take the free text for industry and occupation and put it into these codes. So this algorithm, and Carrie mentioned it, is going to be available in 2012. It codes a narrative of what you do for industry and occupation in about 2 to 3 seconds with about 90% efficiency, and it's still under development. And it's going to be free. So we felt really good about going to the NUBC with this because we knew they'd be concerned about burden, but we have a technological solution to a burden problem. Okay, so let me just go over the benefits again of what we're doing. We have administrative data that already collects a lot of what we need, diagnosis, cause of injury and illness, et cetera. When we add occupation and industry, we extend what initially started as a firefighter grant to everyone who works because occupation will be coded on every encounter. We not only capture injury, but because we're adding the occupation and industry codes, we capture illness as well. So when we stand at the precipice of making a big difference in this field, it really is true because we're going to be able to use that surveillance data now for occupational health and safety. And of course, this enables us to have a reliable system. We can go to an ongoing systematic basis to do trend analysis. Are there new musculoskeletal injuries that are out there? Where are they occurring? What industry? Are there new types of diseases or respiratory problems we're seeing in the population? So this is the basic principles of surveillance. Now, when you go to these committees, you have to show that there's a national need. So we have letters of support from the top folks at OSHA, NIOSH, APHA, CSTE, and various states that are involved in occupational safety and health surveillance. So let me describe for you where we are nationally in this process. In January of this year, we went to the X12 and said, can you include NAICS and SOCS standards for electronic data interchange? And they said, actually, NAICS is already part of our standard. And we said, great, can you add SOC? And so that went through their process, and in June it was voted on, and it passed this September. So NAICS and SOC are now part of X12. And that implementation guide will be out this fall. But that's a very small victory in this process. The next step is to go to NUBC and ask them to include that standard that's been published as part of the uniform bill. So we went to them in March of this year, and we got 1,001 questions about burden and cost and all of the things that you would expect a group largely predominated by hospital associations to ask you. And so we didn't ask for a vote at that time. Instead, we went back and we developed a white paper. And so you can get in touch with us through the website to get a copy of it. It's actually on our website, the white paper, if you want to read it. It describes the benefits to all parties, hospitals, payers, public health. So in August of this year, we went to the NUBC in person with two folks from NIOSH who were the experts on the algorithm that was created so we could talk about the technological solution, and with the chief of the Baltimore City Fire Department to show that the fire service was behind this initiative. And while I don't have time to tell you about that meeting because I'm still suffering from a little post-traumatic stress, I can tell you that this committee, even though we made a good presentation about how quick this algorithm works, how it takes about 30 seconds to ask these questions on industry and occupation, which was demonstrated by NIOSH in Sherry Barron's work on health disparities, they didn't want to believe it. And they said, it's too burdensome, it takes too much time, it's going to affect our bottom line, even though we had all of the evidence before us. What's at stake here? When public health goes to the standard-setting organizations to ask for what it needs, it actually has a different standard than when hospital associations go. This committee asked me to provide more evidence, more pilots, show me that there's implementation happening. Well, no state in the country is going to create standards when not all the states are going to do the same thing. So a state could go and create a standard that doesn't meet NAICS and SOC, and then people aren't singing from the same songbook and we can't compare. This is a data standards maintenance organization. They set the standard. The implementation is up to the states. That's how it works. But they have missed the particular part of their mission, which is in public health. And so they keep moving the line in terms of what we have to demonstrate in order to get these codes incorporated. So our next steps are these. We have some states who have written letters of support. We need more, because we are now going to escalate this above ourselves to federal agencies, and we want to show that every state, if this were part of the standard, would collect this information and work towards that implementation. We need to show the NUBC that the states are interested. We also are working with the top leadership in FEMA, OSHA, NIOSH, and Health and Human Services to say, this committee that Health and Human Services mandated to be the steward of the standards has changed its mission out of scope. And that's not its purpose. That scope is the state's scope. The scope of the committee is to create, maintain, and update the standard. And that is the process that everyone goes through. And so we think it is very important, as we work with these folks, that your voices are included. And again, with the intersection of what's happening with the uniform bill and what's happening with electronic health records in this country, it is our voices that will create these data of industry and occupation in the data systems that we routinely use to do our jobs without creating separate and duplicate data systems. Your voices need to be heard on this issue. or we will miss this window of opportunity that is clearly open right now. So I want to thank you for your attention. The brochures about FEMA are in the back. It's a wonderful program that's really enabled us to take the time to actually work on this policy issue in addition to our research projects. And that is our website for FIRST. Leah and I are here. We'll be here at the end of the session. I'd love to hear from you right now, if there is time, your ideas, your questions, folks that you know in Congress. Because we're going to move on this issue, and we need you to be with us on it. So thank you very much.